Hawkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics.
Sean Payton was horrible in clock management. That should never be the case with this New Orleans Saints team.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. It's Football Tuesday, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. And joining me as he does every Tuesday for Football Tuesday, Vinny Rondinelli. Vinny, week 9 of the NFL football season now complete last night with the Cowboys and Giants. Big win last night for the Cowboys.
Big win. Halfway through it. Been some wild stuff going on. It's been a crazy season.
It's been unpredictable.
Unpredictable. A lot of bad football this year.
There's been a lot of good football, too.
There's a lot of bottom-dwelling teams. We've seen a lot of bad football.
So let me ask you this. What's the difference? Define bad football, because I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that anytime we have a low-scoring affair, it's bad football, and I hate that. And it goes the same for basketball. It goes the same for baseball. A 1-0 baseball game will get criticized. That's not bad baseball.
No.
That's fascinating. Same thing in the NFL. I go back to the Packers-Bears game, 10-3 at the beginning of the season. I didn't think that was bad football.
No, it wasn't. Not that game itself, but you think, you know, your bottom six or seven teams, they are bad.
Yeah,
we're seeing a lot of bad football in Washington, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Miami, New York. We're seeing some bad football.
We do have plenty of storylines in the NFL to get into today. In fact, all of the major headlines really surround the NFL. We can start by talking about the news. I don't want to spend a whole segment on this, but we'll start by the news that came out late last night that the Los Angeles Chargers would entertain the idea of relocating to London. Now, since that report came out, owner Dean Spanos really ripped it to shreds using a lot of foul language.
he was pretty adamant.
Yes, he was. That it's completely BS. That's basically what he said. Okay, I'm going to look at this from two different angles. Vinny, first off, you and I were texting back and forth last night, and I think we both can agree. It would make financial sense for the Chargers to move to London. For a couple of reasons. For one, they left San Diego. Why? They didn't have a stadium. Right? They still don't have a stadium in L.A.
They don't. They're renters.
They're playing in someone else's stadium.
Yeah.
They're renters. If you go to London, you have a stadium. And I am curious to see how an entire country would support a team. Because they'd be the only team that would have an entire country backing them. Now, I know that there are some difficulties and there are some variables you have to consider. But at the end of the day, I don't think it makes terrible financial sense. Spanos comes out, denies it. He vividly denies it.
He
wasn't happy. But to me, I wonder how much of that is a PR move as well. Because, listen, we know what lame duck seasons can do, right? And they're not getting support in L.A. to begin with. So this comes out.
There's some smoke there. Like you always say, Jordan, where there's smoke, there's some fire.
Mm-hmm.
So some owner or owners have brought this up. So the idea has been breached. There's no doubt about it. They have talked about it. Do I believe it'll happen? No. Do I think the NFL could support 8 games in London? No. Could the NFL do a 3-game homestand or 4-game homestand? Sure.
Yes, and that's probably the route that ends up
happening. They could probably do something like that. But, it has to be talked about. There's $500 million at stake, too. So the NFL is going to have to kick that in. So, you know, the Chargers paid $500 million to move. That's the NFL's relocation fee. They're not going to pay it again.
No.
They're renters in
L.A. That's a stadium. You're halfway to a stadium at $1 billion.
Yeah, $1 billion. You're there. So, yeah, it's an interesting point. It is an interesting thought to see a country embrace them. But I just don't see that happening. Logistically, I don't think it's feasible.
Here's the quote. It's bleeping bleep. We're not going to London. We're not going anywhere. We're playing in Los Angeles. This is our home, and this is where we are planning to be for a long bleeping time. Period.
Period.
Yeah, I think he got the point across. He was responding to The Athletic, who, again, The Athletic is very responsible. They're very reputable people. It's The Athletic. You have to pay for this content. So I do believe it came from a reliable source. I don't believe it's complete and utter BS.
No, it's not. It has been breached. One or more owners have at least brought this up, especially with the NFL traveling to London for the last couple of years. So they have brought it up. That has been brought up, no doubt.
I think we're probably 5-6 years away from this actually happening, first off, to begin with. And then second, I think we're probably 5 or 6 years away from really knowing if the Chargers stint in LA is a failure or not. You got to give it time.
Yeah, you got to give it time.
Really, because, and I don't think the NFL...
LA's not a great market to begin with.
It's not. It's very fair-weathered.
Yeah, it's not a great market. It's not a football city to begin with.
No, because you're seeing it right now with USC. Now, USC is not UCLA. I mean, the attendance at UCLA has been just ridiculous. But Vinny, there are two teams in Los Angeles that can overcome losing, and it's the Lakers and the Dodgers, and that's it.
That's it.
But really, it is.
It is. That LA is, I'm from LA. I'm telling you, that is a Laker and Dodger town.
It is. It is.
They are king there.
Yeah. Yeah, I spent a lot of time in LA. I see it firsthand.
Yes.
That's what it, and even when the Lakers and Dodgers are not good, they're still the team in Los Angeles. So with all this being said, I think it's going to take a couple of years before we find out if this Charger, and then maybe at 5 years from now, if it's still not working, then maybe it's something that is considered. And I don't, you know, the contract that they have with the Rams, we could go into great detail there. Stan Kroenke would be foolish to not say, you know what, you can leave, no penalty. I don't care, because you would have the LA market to yourself. Here's where the NFL did drop the ball. The Chargers should have, A, never left San Diego.
Should have never left
the
San
NFL
Diego.
Should have been very proactive in helping San Diego get a stadium. Two, they should have never have allowed the Raiders to move to Las Vegas, knowing that they put two teams in L.A. That's where they dropped the ball. And look, I'm not claiming to know more than NFL owners as far as the business is concerned, but I'll tell you one thing that is factual. When you allowed two teams to move to L.A., you lost a lot of leverage in getting other cities, other teams, new stadiums.
Yeah,
because L.A. was used as leverage for a very long time. And with the Rams building a two-team stadium, you still would have had that leverage by letting Kroenke move the Rams back to L.A.
Yeah, absolutely. The L.A., the state of California, which we all know has got its own issues, they blew it. Oakland and San Diego should have team stadiums, but that state is in such disarray that Kroenke had to buy his own ground and build his own stadium. Now, was he helped by $500 million in rent fee? Yeah, I'm sure that helped.
Well, he had to pay it too, though.
Yeah, but I'm sure that eased some of his pain.
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, the state itself's a disaster. The NFL should have been more proactive. I agree with you. And we should have the Oakland Raiders, the San Diego Chargers, and the LA Rams.
And that's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be. San Francisco, they have theirs. That's how it should be. Yeah. So I think the NFL, again, and we're going to see. I don't know if fan support, how you draw, if that stadium sells out, whoever's buying the tickets, let's be honest, the NFL don't care.
No.
Stan Kroenke don't care.
No.
Stan Kroenke honestly don't care if he's only got 20% Ram fan and 80% visiting fan.
He doesn't care.
If there's a butt in that seat, that's what he cares about.
Well,
who's butt in that seat, Jordan? He don't care.
Well, no, because look at it right now. There's no home field advantage for the Rams in the Coliseum. They practice an hour and a half away.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no home field advantage
like
there.
The Vegas thing. You're not going to get Raider fans in there. You're going to get casino giveaway tickets.
But Mark Davis was so starved for a stadium, he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He needed a stadium. And it is mind-boggling.
And they're selling the tickets.
They
Who they sell them to, they don't care.
No.
Let's be honest. The NFL owners do not care.
It's high roller money in Vegas. This is what baffles me about the NFL, right? And Dean Spanos, look, the Spanos family in general, they've cut a lot of flack.
Oh, yeah. They've been beat down. Yeah. They've been beat down.
But you have to, you know, I'm gonna take it from the owner's standpoint here for just a moment. To me, it's more of the NFL's fault because the NFL did not help them obtain a stadium in San Diego. And I don't blame the people in San Diego for saying, no, we're not paying for it. This is a non-profit. That's what the NFL is. They're a non-profit, right? The NFL did not help the Chargers.
No, absolutely not.
You take a look at the Raiders. The Raiders are a national brand. They're a national brand. You have Raider fans in Florida on the opposite side of the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's absurd that the Raiders never had their own stadium. Really, it is.
It is.
Think about
it. And,
and
let's be honest. You're right about the NFL. The NFL, the non-profit $8 billion profit they get a year, they could have built 10 stadiums. They could have financed 10 stadiums themselves and made their money back.
Exactly.
So the NFL could have built a stadium in Oakland and in San Diego and got their money back from the teams. Mm-hmm. All they had to do was act as the bank.
Mm-hmm.
They're a nonprofit organization that profits $8 billion.
Exactly. No, exactly.
So, yeah.
So, I take it a little bit easy on Spanos. Okay, I don't want to talk about that because we could go off. I was so in-depth with the last three relocations that we had in the NFL. I could have this conversation.
Oh, yeah. I've been reading about it. For 15 years.
It's been, it's fascinating, but there's a lot of other stuff happening, like the Carolina Panthers putting Cam Newton on the IR. I want to talk about this a little bit later on in the show because Cam Newton's time in my mind in Carolina, it's over with.
It's over.
I think this is it. I think we've seen him play his last game in Carolina. I don't necessarily think the Panthers have to release him outright. I think that there will be some trade suitors for Cam Newton once we hit the new league year. I truly believe that. You know, Cam could return from the IR if they were to play meaningful football in January, but the reason why that won't happen is because if they're playing meaningful football
in January,
they don't need him.
That's right.
So he is done in Carolina as far as I'm concerned. Also, some more quarterback talk. Nick Foles will start for the Jacksonville Jaguars over Gardner Minshew. Do you like this?
Yes.
I do too.
I do too. A veteran player, Nick Foles had some mojo going on. He got hurt early on. Minshew had some moments, played pretty good football. You've seen last week, though, he cannot carry a football team.
Not yet.
He's not ready to carry a football team. He's a rookie. He's got plenty of time. You have him under contract. There's no reason to rush Minshew. So, once again, Nick Foles comes back. You know, they say, as a football coach, you always say, you can't lose your job to an injury. Well, you know, that's not always true, but you want to keep to that. And so, yeah, I like Nick Foles starting. I really do. And, hey, you know that you got a solid backup in Gardner Minshew, so this was not a total loss for Jacksonville.
No, it wasn't a total loss. And, again, you can bring him along, trust the process, right? You have your contingency plan. We all knew that Nick Foles wasn't the long-term solution in Jacksonville anyway. It's not like he's your franchise quarterback for the next decade. And let's be real, the way the playoff picture is shaping up, and I want to touch on this later on in the show as well, the Jags find themselves a game out right now, sitting at 4-5 going into the bye week. They're like a game out of getting into the postseason.
Yeah. And that division's up for grabs.
It is up for grabs. It is. I mean, it really, really is. I like the Texans. I like them at the beginning of the season, even after making the move where they gave up a lot for Tunsil. It's proven to pay dividends so far.
He's been pretty good, huh? How about Deshaun Watson?
Well, he's incredible.
He's been incredible.
That kid is the rare, and I've said this a million times on the show, but I'm going to go back to it because it doesn't happen. He is the rare breed of a kid that has had success at quarterback in high school, college, and the NFL. Yeah. It does not happen. It rarely happens. And when I say success, I know you have to have success to become an NFL quarterback, but I'm talking he was dominant in college. He probably should have won a Heisman at Clemson.
Absolutely should have won.
I mean, he was dominant.
Yeah, he should have
won. Lamar Jackson, I still don't buy it. I still kind of view Baltimore as a gimmick, and I may get hammered for that, and that's fine, but it's different with Deshaun Watson. You watch Deshaun Watson and you watch Lamar Jackson, it's different, Benny. There's a difference.
There's a difference. Yeah, there really is.
So we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show as well. Some other news coming out of the NFL. The Philadelphia Eagles have placed Deshaun Jackson on the IR. I was really looking forward to seeing Deshaun Jackson with Carson Wentz.
Yeah,
really
that sounded like that was going to be great. I mean, when you thought about that, him going deep, Wentz's arm. Thought about Philly being a little bit further than they are right now, even though they seem to be gaining momentum. You figured they'd be further along or a little closer.
Yeah, you thought so.
Yeah, we really did. So, disappointment because Jackson can still run. I imagine he's still one of the top 10 fastest players in the NFL right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He can get downfield. He's going to stretch the field. That's what he's
absolutely
going to do. So that's some of the news coming out of the NFL. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA. The Utah Jazz will make their return tomorrow night, so no NBA basketball tonight. Short slate of games, only 6. We get Indiana on the road to take on the Charlotte Hornets, 5 o'clock hour, Boston at Cleveland. San Antonio takes on Atlanta at 5:30, 6 o'clock tonight, Orlando at Oklahoma City. We do get the Lakers and the Bulls tonight on NBA TV at 6 p.m., and the Miami at Denver at 7. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. We'll give you the local sports recap in just a moment. Coming up on the show, we will talk quarterbacks and potential buyouts, what it would cost your team to buy out your quarterback. I have 8 quarterbacks sitting in front of me right now. I want to go over those numbers. Vinny, I'm going to let you play GM. Is it worth it to let go of these quarterbacks or maybe even test the trade market? We'll talk about that. I want to go over the playoff picture, and it's Tuesday, so we're going to bring back the Handy Mart in Helper Cheers segment. We'll give cheers to one person in the NFL or one team, one organization, one aspect of the NFL. That's all coming up. It's a Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports live from the Auto Forum Studios on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin with high school swimming, where this past Friday, the Carbon Dinos opened up the 2019-2020 season as they traveled on the road to take on the Richfield Wildcats and a group of other schools at an invitational tournament. The Lady Dinos, who enter the new season as the 3A state champions, finished in second place with a final total of 105 points, falling to the host school Richfield, who finished with 114. North Summit came in third at 34 points, followed by South Sevier, Gunnison, and North Sevier. On the boys' side of the pool, it was Richfield once again coming out in first place with 102 points. North Summit was in second with 99, followed by Carbon's 39, South Sevier's 18, North Sevier's 10, and Gunnison's 9. First place finishes at the meet included Camden Chamberlain in the 200 free, Sophie Crompton finished first in the 50 free, Gabe Ibanez finished first in the 200 IM and the 500 free, and Nicole Swayze ended first in the 100 breaststroke. Now the Dinos will continue the swim season today as they travel to the Emory County Aquatic Center to take on the Spartans and South Sevier. This will also work as the season opener for the Emory High School Spartans. Following today's meet, Emory will then play host to Gunnison and Roland Hall next Tuesday. The Dinos, on the other hand, will keep up a very busy swim schedule. Following today's meet, they will travel on the road. Next up, they'll go to the Cedar Invitational, which will be this weekend. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more on both swim teams in the coming days. We move over to the junior college ranks, and over the weekend, the USU Eastern men's soccer team suffered a 3-2 loss to the Salt Lake Community College Bruins in the opening round of the Scenic West Athletic Conference Tournament, ultimately ending their season. With that setback, the USU Eastern men finished the year at 5-5-5. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by first-year head coach Jared Woodhouse, and he talked about the season-ending loss to Salt Lake.
To be honest, I was incredibly pleased. Salt Lake has two players that in my mind should be All-American players. They're both players are probably going to move on directly from the junior college ranks to the professional ranks. And all throughout the first half, we shut them down. Our defense was playing well. We were actually doing very, very well defensively. Our offense left a little bit to be desired in the first half, but defensively we were doing extremely, extremely well.
Coach Woodhouse continued by giving his team a grade on the 2019 season.
I would have to say that if I'm looking at the first half of the season, I would give us probably about a C. But if I'm looking at the last half of the season, including that regional semifinal game in spite of the loss against Salt Lake, I feel like honestly and truthfully, we did outplay the number three team in the country. And so I would probably give us a B+. And so if you average that out, we're looking somewhere around a B minus on the season. But I'm actually kind of pleased.
Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio as tomorrow we'll be joined by head coach Ammon Bennett on KOAL's Drive Time Sports to recap the soccer season for the women's squad. We moved to community events, and Community Nursing Services would like to invite you to participate in their annual Bags and Brews Cornhole Tournament, which will take place on November 16th at the Carbon County Event Center beginning at 5:30 p.m. Now, the cost to participate is $40 per team, and that does include dinner catered by Getting On Some Barbecue. Spectators are welcome for only $10, with dinner included. All proceeds from this event will support the CNS Senior Wish Program and the local children in our area with life-limiting illnesses. There will be a full bar and great prizes. Space is limited, so sign up today by calling 613-8887. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. It's Football Tuesday, 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Live from the Auto Forum Studios, Jordan Buscarini alongside Vinny Rondinelli. Vinny, we're going to talk quarterbacks. Cam Newton, I think it's an end of an era in Carolina.
I really believe that. They need to move on. They need to find new identity. That identity is McCaffrey. They're doing quite well with the quarterback they have. That's $19 million. Kudos to Newton. He had a couple years there where he had a nice little run. Other than that, he's been an average football player. Let's be honest. A lot of hype around Cam Newton, but other than a couple-year run there, he's been an average football player, and, you know, in that Super Bowl, he was pretty below average.
I'm not a Cam Newton guy. Never have been. I wasn't a Cam Newton guy when he was in Auburn. But let me say this about Cam. I'm going to go to his defense because I do believe that this guy's played hurt.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you have
he was not
that.
Healthy.
No.
Oh, yeah. Kudos to him.
Mm-hmm. You have to respect that.
Yeah, you can't question his toughness.
No, you can't.
No.
Also, I don't know, and I have a hard time putting this into words. Let me use a basketball reference for you. The most difficult player of my generation to officiate was Shaq. Because Shaq was so big, so powerful. Referees had a hard time dictating the physicality from opposition. What was an offensive foul? What was a defensive foul? It's because Shaq was so difficult to officiate. I'm going to put Cam Newton in that same category. There were times that Cam Newton absorbed illegal hits, but this is a guy that is so big, so powerful. I remember watching Cam Newton live. I couldn't believe the size of this guy.
Yeah, Cam Newton's, he is
TV doesn't do it justice.
No, he is a different animal.
Different than anything we've seen at quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. He is a different kind of just absolutely.
He's a specimen. He's different.
Absolutely specimen. Physically, he is a different than what we've seen. And you're right. Kudos to Newton. He's played tough, and he's played some good football.
He's taken a lot of bad hits,
but
and I think it's difficult to officiate him.
And again, you know, the one thing that's hard for people to is fans have emotions, and NFL front offices do not.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL front office, their job's to win. They have a hard cap to go with. We talk
their
about
their job
all the time.
Is at stake every year. Yeah,
they have a different universe than us fans live in. So for the GM, he's looking at this and says, "Hey, I got a guy that, you know, hey, he's probably gonna be a backup next year if this kid continues to play well. I can save $19 million, or I can move him to another team. This is a guy that maybe his arm's never healthy again."
Maybe not.
Because we saw him at the beginning of this year when they said he was healthy. He didn't look good at all throwing the football.
He wasn't healthy. And again, I go back to the
interview. He had the whole offseason last year to get healthy.
We had Mike Adams on the show, and he said the same thing. He said, don't believe any of the reports that state that Cam Newton was healthy at any point in time last year, because he wasn't.
And
that was a guy that was there and went up against him in practice.
Oh, and I believe that. I believe that. Now, he had the whole offseason to heal that arm. They said he was healthy. At the beginning of this year, they said that arm was healthy. Well, it didn't look it. And now you have a foot injury for a guy that's going to be better moving around than he is standing still. And you have a foot injury, add to it, $19 million, injury history. There's no reason for Cam Newton to be a Carolina Panther next year.
But at $19.1 million, and that's what the Panthers would save if they were to cut him before June 1st. They'd save $19 million in cap space. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. But based on quarterback contracts, if Cam Newton was to come in and pass a physical for a team, that's not an amount of money that you look at and you say, I'm staying away from that guy.
Oh, no. So that contract's not prohibitive. If he does pass a physical, that's a great point, Jordan. If he's healthy, if another team deems him healthy, does he get another shot in the NFL?
Well, tradable. I'm not going to say it's an asset. But the Panthers' options are open. I do believe that there are teams that would be interested in trading for Cam Newton.
I'll give you one
right now right off the top of my head. I think the Indianapolis Colts, for as good as Jacoby Brissett has been, and this is a team that you and I continue to talk about with the amount of money that they have, I don't think Jacoby Brissett is the right guy to get Indianapolis to the next level. Now, I think that it's a good contract to build pieces around. They didn't spend money to begin with around Jacoby Brissett. I like Brissett. I don't think he's a starting. I don't believe he's a top 15 starting quarterback in the NFL. I don't believe he ever gets to that point, Vinny. And I'm just
do you believe Newton is?
When healthy, if right, yeah, I do.
You
I
think
do.
He's top 15?
Yeah, because he was an MVP. At one point in time, he was the MVP. He took the Panthers to the Super Bowl. He was Superman, remember, for two seasons.
I mean, yeah, this guy he had a run there, a couple seasons, yeah.
And so that, if he's
he
healthy,
had that great year. And
also, let me throw this out there as well. Because
but if he's not moving around, does he get the MVP that year?
Well,
So the physical is going to be big. That's why I bring that back up.
Yeah,
I'm backtracking
right.
on you,
no,
Jordan.
No, he has to. No,
he has to be 100% healthy because if he ain't moving around, he ain't worth having.
But let me throw this out there as well, Vinny, because this is something that doesn't get talked about enough. He won an MVP in Carolina. They went to the Super Bowl. They were physically dominated by the Denver Broncos from the defensive side of the ball. Sometimes a change of scenery is great
for a career.
For a career and for a franchise.
Absolutely.
The expectations surrounding Cam Newton, probably a lot of the reason why this guy has played injured, right? And sometimes it changes. I mean, that's expectations from the fan base, expectations from the organization.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's nearly impossible to live up to those expectations when you have peaked at a somewhat of a young age. I believe he was still under his rookie contract, if I remember correct, the first time that we really said, wow, I mean, this kid's got it, right? So for me, I don't think a change of scenery is bad for either side. I think you can
benefit. No. And I believe you're right. I think if he passes that physical, yeah, does he get another shot in the NFL?
I think so.
Absolutely.
Even if he does, you know what? Even if he's... there's a place for Cam Newton next season in the league, regardless of his health. Regardless. There's a place for him.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's two ways to look at that, and one would be the contract. So Carolina cuts him, and he comes back somewhere for a lot less money and becomes a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. Or they trade for him, and he's a starting quarterback if he's deemed healthy. I think, again, that for Cam Newton to be a team physical in the way somebody views him, there's some teams that could use him. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Broncos need a quarterback.
Well, the Redskins need a quarterback.
Especially
for the next year, because Dwayne Haskins is not ready to be an NFL quarterback.
Your Chargers may need a quarterback relatively soon.
They could
need a quarterback relatively soon. You don't think so?
No, I don't think Cam Newton's a fit in L.A.
No. I'm just saying that I'm looking
at teams. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Need quarterbacks. The Dolphins.
The Dolphins need a quarterback.
The Bengals. The... Redskins, all these teams at the bottom end of the draft round.
There are
the
teams
Jets
that need quarterbacks.
You can't tell me the Jets don't need a backup quarterback?
There's a spot for
Look what
for
happened
him.
Without Darnold.
Yeah, there's a spot for
him. Oh, yeah, there's a spot for him. I agree with you.
Look at Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
Blake Bortles was a guy that had his team in the AFC Championship just a couple of seasons ago. He was one of the first backup quarterbacks scarfed up off the free agent wire for a reason. There's a spot for Cam Newton.
Oh, absolutely.
That's where, the point I'm trying to get.
And if he's healthy, a starting spot.
Exactly. Nobody can convince me otherwise. If Cam Newton's healthy, he's not a top 16, top 17 quarterback in the league. When he's healthy, he is. Because, again, from a physical standpoint, this guy's magnificent. So, okay, if you're the Carolina Panthers and you can't trade Cam Newton, you cut him at the end of the season?
Yes.
I agree with you. Now, that's not to say that Cam Newton can't play. I'm not contradicting everything I just said.
No,
a change of scenery, I think, is needed all the way around here.
And accounting.
Let's move on and talk about another quarterback. I'm going to go over some of these deals now at the end of the season because we reached this midway point and you start seeing transformation as far
Absolutely.
As teams are concerned.
Absolutely.
Andy Dalton's been benched.
Andy Dalton needs to go.
His time in Cincinnati is gone. And again, here's another guy. You will find a spot for him.
Absolutely.
If he's Ryan Fitzpatrick 2.0 next season,
yep.
he's going to start again for another team in the NFL. I guarantee it. Okay. At some point in time, $17 million is what Cincinnati would save if he was to be cut pre-June 1st.
Let's cut him.
He's gone. He's done.
Cut him. You're rebuilding. You know it. We know it. Everybody knows it. New coach, new philosophy. He's got to go.
Okay, those ones are easy.
Easy.
Let me throw some tough ones at you now.
Okay.
You're a general manager. You're John Elway. You still have a job maybe at the end of the season.
Yeah,
you're
I think
John
he's
Elway.
Gone.
Joe Flacco, $10 million if you cut him pre-June 1st. Do you do
Here's a tough one here. And there's a couple things going to this. First of all, is health. Okay,
He's not healthy.
He's not healthy. The health of and the development of Locke. Mm-hmm. When I cut him right away, no, because I want to see in the OTAs if Locke has got anything going on. You drafted Drew Locke. I want to see that. Secondly, you do save $10 million. What do you eat?
That's important.
That's important. So if you're going to eat $10 million, and you don't have a backup quarterback, why not keep Flacco around? You've seen you may need him because Drew Locke's injured and Flacco got injured this year. Yeah, he's not a bad human being.
No.
You're not going to have legal issues with Joe Flacco. So if I'm the Broncos, I think Elway gets fired. I believe that. But either way, I think you keep Joe Flacco. I think Joe Flacco has a job in Denver next year, at least for one more season, Jordan.
Savings on Ben Roethlisberger next year is $8.5 million. Do you cut him or do you keep him?
This is going to be a tough question. I'll answer it with this. These next eight games will tell me. If you think that Mason Rudolph, is it Rudolph or Randolph? It's Rudolph.
Yeah.
If you think he's there, you cut Roethlisberger. That's an injury he may not come back from. Again, health's going to factor into it. $8 million. You're going to have to pay Juju and Connor. You've already had trouble with losing guys. And I hope you've learned from Le'Veon and AB. You basically got nothing for two of the best players in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You got a 3 and a 5 for two of the best players in the NFL. So I would hope that you would push that money forward. If Rudolph plays well these next eight games, for me, I would probably cut Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I think that they have something in Rudolph. I really do. I think he can play football. And really, Mike Tomlin, for all the criticism, done a phenomenal job this year.
Actually, yeah. Well, you were calling for him to get fired.
I was. I've called for him to be fired the last 2 years.
Yeah, and they've rallied.
They have.
They've got a little help. Some of the teams have helped them tremendously the last couple weeks. But yeah, with Rudolph, if he's playing well, I think that, you know, judging on your cap situation and Roethlisberger's health, if he's not 100% healthy, I would cut him. If you can get one more year out of it, that might factor into it. But yeah, I think I'm leaning towards letting him go.
Mitch Trubisky, $0 in savings. $0. You're not losing anything.
100% keeping him.
Yeah, it's too early, right?
Yeah,
there's no
way too early.
Now, if you could save 15, 16 mil, yeah, I'd say, okay, he's gone.
That might be something, but
there's no savings.
There's no savings, and young quarterbacks have growing pains. Last year, he played good football. They won a lot of football games. Young quarterbacks are going to go through this. I think there's some coaching issues. They're not helping him.
You know,
they're not playing to his strengths.
I go back to it. You had to have expected regression with this Bears team.
Absolutely.
Things fell the right way last year, almost flukishly at times. You take a look at the number of turnovers. I believe that I don't even have the stat in front of me, but they were winning turnover battles 2-3, something like that.
Oh, yeah, they were incredible. They were up like, they were plus 20 or something.
You can't sustain that. You had to expect some regression there. And again, I go back to it. I believe the Broncos have the right guy as their head coach, and I believe that Fangio was that important to Matt Nagy. So when you talk about coaching, the fact of the matter is you had a second head coach on that team last year.
Absolutely.
You don't have that this year.
And the defense has played solid in Chicago.
They have. They've played fine.
They played good. Now the turnovers have made a difference. You're not getting those turnovers, so it makes a difference in the point differential. Also, Matt Nagy came to this with, I'm going to win you over, and got that job as an offensive guy, putting his faith in Trubisky and the development of Trubisky. And this year, that offense has been terrible. Yeah, it's not all Trubisky's fault.
No, and I don't believe, and again, I love Chuck Pagano. I do.
Yeah, Chuck Pagano's a good football coach.
But he's not Vic Fangio.
Well, Chuck Pagano's coached some very good football teams and won some big games. And
there was an identity there with that defense under Fangio.
Well, and some of it too. Again, now the offense has regressed, which has hurt the defense.
It has.
Yeah, they're always complimentary, but the defense has not been the reason they're losing these football games. But again, Matt Nagy, it's your staff, it's your offense. You're going to have to put some points to the board, and their offense looks lost.
To Mitch Trubisky's credit, some of this has to fall on Nagy because this is why you were brought in.
Yeah.
Right? This is why you were brought in.
This is why they hired you.
You're supposed to develop. And to me, there's always going to be comparisons with Nagy and Sean McVay and even Kyle Shanahan. I'm going to group all three of these together because they were brought in for what reason? Offense, right?
Right.
We've seen Kyle Shanahan's the only unbeaten team right now in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Sean McVay went to a Super Bowl, and we saw the Bears trending in that direction. Now they're not.
But it is too early to give up on Trubisky.
I agree. Alex Smith, you'd have to eat almost $11 million to get rid of him at the end of the year.
And this one's the hardest one, and this is the reason why. There's reports out there that Smith is working out. So he's about a year. I think we pinpointed he's about 1 year from the gruesome injury, right? Mm-hmm. He's been working out. Now, his health is paramount. Now, to say next year, the Redskins, they're not as bad as their record indicates. They're a mess. And where does that start? That starts with Bruce Allen, Dan Snyder, right on through to their coaching staff. Now, they're going to get a new football coach. And if you're the new football coach, you have Dwayne Haskins, who you're going to inherit. Just like Gruden. I don't think Gruden wanted to draft Haskins. I think that became apparently obvious. It's obvious that Dwayne Haskins is nowhere near ready to be an NFL quarterback. Not to say that he won't be down the road. But he's not ready now. So with Alex Smith, if you're a veteran football coach, you come into this and you can, you know, he passes a physical. Why wouldn't you have him there to mentor Dwayne Haskins?
Let me throw this out there.
One of the best men in the NFL. One of the sharpest men. He's a good human being.
Yes.
And one of the smartest quarterbacks in the NFL.
You're paying a coach because I don't believe he plays again. I'm going to tell you why. He revealed that he had 17 surgeries on that leg and he's 35 years old. Odds aren't
how many of those, though? Some of that could have been a skin graft. Some of those could have been an infection.
It's still 17 operations for a 35-year-old man. He had 17
again,
operations
his health is,
in a year.
Now, he said, I've heard
coach,
him say.
That's fine. That's fine.
But I've heard Alex Smith say, I will play again.
Yeah, he said that. Yeah, he plans on
it. And I've read that he's working out. Mm-hmm. So by, let's say, it's now November right now, Jordan. By April, is he healthy for OTAs?
Well, if he's
by
not.
By February?
Yeah, if he's not.
You know, does he pass the physical in February? And you say, well, the league year starts and you passed your physical. Why not take a flyer?
Sure.
Just to help him with Haskins.
With your situation now, I get it.
And if you're committed to Haskins, what better backup or resource than Alex Smith?
Yeah, you're paying an assistant coach. That's what you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that one's difficult just based on health. Now, perfect world, he passed the physical. Absolutely, you keep him.
Drive Time Sports, we got to pause for just a moment. We'll come back. We'll give cheers to an aspect of the NFL. It could be a player, it could be a coach, but cheers segment brought to you by Handy Mart. Coming up when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
Vinny, first time you've been involved with the Cheers segment. Again, this is brought to you by the Handy Mart and Helper.
I love it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love it. You're a beer guy, too.
Yeah, I'm a beer guy.
Yeah, you're a beer guy. So you
and a Handy Mart guy. I live down the street.
Go check out their beer cave. Nothing better than cold beer, right?
Oh,
yeah, you beer. Love cold beer, don't you?
I love cold beer and football.
It works hand in hand. Again, Cheers brought to you by the Handy Mart and Helper and their beer cave.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Salud.
All right, Vinny, let's hear it. Cheers. Who are you giving a cheers to this week out of the NFL?
Tony Dungy, ex-NFL coach turned commentator, Sunday Night Football, NBC. And I'm going to reread his tweet here. Do us a favor and don't let the coaches challenge any more PI calls. You're causing teams to lose timeouts, making the officiating look inept, and making us fans feel stupid because we can see it with our eyes, and you obviously don't want to overturn it to make a point, so just stop. So kudos to Tony Dungy for pointing out the obvious, but Tony Dungy's a good guy. By all accounts, you're never going to hear a bad word about Tony Dungy. He's been in the NFL a long time. Most people don't know Tony Dungy was a player for the Steel Curtain, those Steelers teams. Most people don't even know that, but great point, because me and you talk off the air all the time, and I'm not hard on officials, but for the last couple of years...
Well, this year you have been.
Oh, the last couple of years, but this year they've been awful, and they're ruining the flow of the football game, and this thing where they're being so arrogant as to not overturn their mistakes is really bad for football. So cheers to Tony Dungy having some weight in the league for saying it, because somebody besides the fans had to say it, Jordan, and he has enough weight that maybe it means something when he says it.
Cheers to Tony Dungy.
Cheers to Tony Dungy.
I'm going to go with a player. I'm going to go Deshaun Watson. I was going back and forth on this. I got to give cheers to Deshaun Watson.
Oh, he's awesome.
I love watching this kid play. In fact, he may be one of my favorite players to watch. Did you watch the did you wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning?
No, I didn't. I saw some highlights.
There's one play in particular in that game. And again, we didn't even know if he was going to play, right, because of the eye injury. The guy gets kicked in the face, adjusts his helmet, and throws a touchdown pass all in a matter of 2 seconds. This was 2 weeks ago. He was fantastic. There was a play in this game against the Jags. I think they were on their own 40, and it was 2nd and 20, and it looks like he's going to take a sack. Nope, he finds a way to get away from it, delivers a pass. Duke Johnson picks up 17. It's a manageable third down. He does this time and time again, and there were so many doubters around Deshaun Watson, and the fact that the Texans used the 12th overall pick on him, a lot of it had to do with the size. He's not a big guy.
No, not a big guy.
Right, and he had success at the college level, really in an unconventional way. He's only 6'2", 210, 215 pounds. But I like this guy. I think he's a class act human being. And as far as the MVP race goes, right now, if I'm looking at the AFC, the two best players up until this point in time of the season, you could make the case for it being Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I saw Jackson live and in color 3 weeks ago, watched every play as he beat my Chargers, and they had him. Three times they had him. And he made single-handedly won that football game for Houston. He single-handedly broke free, got out, and threw a couple plays, and he won the game for them. They had him dead to rights for a sack, and he makes a play, and you think, how did he do that? How did he even do that? So I've seen him live and in color, and I'm with you. MVP race, it's not – he's in it, and he's a good football player, and better yet, a top-notch human being.
Yeah. Yeah, so statistically, he's going to throw for he'll cross the 2,500-yard barrier this next week, 18 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, QBRs at 75. He's played terrific. If you look at that division, it was said to be wide open going into the year, and I still believe it is wide open.
It still is wide open, but they look like they got a little bit of a lead, don't they?
They do. Who's at the top of it? It's the Texans. They got a half-game lead over the Colts, and I think they ultimately win that division. So cheers to Deshaun Watson.
Cheers to Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson and Tony Dungy picking up cheers here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to break one last time. We'll come back, get some final thoughts, and gear up for Thursday's night game. Boy, you're going to be interested in Thursday night
game. Yeah, I'll be watching Thursday night game.
It's a big one, so I want to get your opinions on that when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me. Running down a dream.
We're back to close out this edition of Drive Time Sports. Football Tuesday, 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Jordan Buscarini alongside Vinny Rondinelli. And Vinny, coming up Thursday right here on KOAL. We have Oakland Raider football as they take on the Los Angeles Chargers. It actually is a very important game.
Very big game.
As far as the AFC West is concerned, and of course the playoff picture in general. As it sits right now, the Raiders are at 4-4, game back in the playoffs.
Yep.
8 games into it. I mean, kudos to John Gruden, right?
He's done a phenomenal
job.
They played better.
But the Chargers are right back in the conversation as well. And I think there for a while it would have been easy to count the Chargers out. I know they had the misstep against Tennessee. Should have won at least 3 games in a row, right? At least.
Oh, yeah.
So they should be
They did beat Tennessee, Jordan.
They did. So let's move into the final segment. Your biggest disappointment. I kind of set you up there because I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. It is the Chargers. Okay. It is the Chargers. They should be better than they are. Now, injuries are withstanding and some of the things. A lot of teams probably wouldn't even have been competitive. But they're better than 4-5. They should be better than 4-5. So for me, midway point in the season, it's a disappointment. They're not sitting at 6-3. Some of the neighborhood 7-2. You know, we talked about Watson. Watson beat them, but the other games they should have won. Huge disappointment for me. Huge disappointment.
My biggest disappointment, now that we're past the midway point, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, there was some juice on Tampa Bay.
There was.
We were both excited to see Bruce Arians.
2-6. And you know what? This is a lot of the reason as to why they're my biggest disappointment. You know what their 2 wins are against? 2 teams over 500. They beat the Panthers. They beat the Rams. That's the 2 wins that they had. You take a look at the games that they've lost. Now, they also lost to the Panthers. But they lost to the Saints without Drew Brees. Right, they lost to the Titans on the road by 4 points. And really, when I break this down, they lost to the Seahawks this past week and had an opportunity to get a win.
They should have won that game. 21-0, weren't they? 21-7 or something? Yeah.
Defensively, they were horrible late in the game. Seattle did everything they could to lose that game. Would have been a great win for this team. 3-5 looks a lot different than 2-6.
Absolutely.
It just sounds better, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And they played, even the Rams game, you were there live and in color. The Rams had 5 turnovers with that day?
Yeah, the Rams did everything they could to not win that football
game. Yeah, they gave them 5. They gave them 14 points on returns, didn't they?
Well, right off the bat, they kicked the ball out of bounds on the kickoff. They gave them the ball at the 40-yard line to start the game.
So even the wins they got weren't that impressive, considering they got a little help. Again, I agree with you.
They're one of my biggest disappointments.
Good picks for both.
Jameis Winston is in a contract year.
Yeah.
And when I look at Jameis...
Well, he's got weapons.
He has... Look, there's not a better situation for Jameis Winston right now. Fact is, this guy throws a lot of interceptions. 16-12. That's what he's at right now, touchdown to interception as far as the ratio is concerned. 16-12. Bruce Arians, very good football coach. They let Quan Alexander go in the offseason because they wanted to spend that money elsewhere and beef up the offensive line, right? That's why they let a star like Quan go. Quan Alexander is a ball player. That guy is fantastic.
Yep.
This is disappointing.
I agree with you. Great. Both these teams look at themselves, kicking themselves, going, you know, we should be better than we are.
Now, with that being said, the Chargers could still get to the playoffs. They're expected to get there. I didn't expect the Buccaneers to get to the playoffs, but I expected Tampa Bay to be at least
better
a
than
player
that. Yeah,
in
better
that division.
Than that. Absolutely.
You know, the Panthers are at 5-3. They haven't had Cam Newton, who's been their franchise for 4 or 5 seasons, right? They haven't had him. Buccaneers should be the second best team in that division. They really should.
Yeah, and they don't look it. You're right. Big disappointment. So, leading on to that, what's your biggest surprise?
Oh, man. It's got to be the San Francisco 49ers. Has to be. I knew the 49ers were going to be good, but at the midway point, they have a 3-game lead on the Rams. They have a 2-game lead on the Seahawks. That's pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive, considering. And we've talked about the Niners in here. We hyped them up with the preseason. We were both kind of like, this team potentially could push very well. And then, but we didn't expect that.
No.
We expect them to be right here at 5-3, knocking on the door of the Rams Seahawks, and they've blown by them.
Yep.
And they look great. So, biggest surprise. I was going to say that as well. It's interesting how good they played without Garoppolo playing great. And then, you know, this team's going to get better now. McGlinchey, Staley coming back, Juszczyk. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're going to be good. Now, they do lose Quan Alexander, a guy we were just talking about. They've lost him for the year. But still, nonetheless, I'll give you another surprise. Dan Quinn is still employed. That's a big surprise.
That's one I would say. And the play of backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, backup quarterbacks.
Coming on. I mean, you got Kyle Allen. You got Gardner Minshew. Mm-hmm. So some of these things, these guys coming in and playing pretty good, you know, and doing some things to keep their teams. Maybe they weren't great. Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, technically he's a backup.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater is a great quarterback.
Yeah, but
he is a backup.
Yeah,
he is a backup.
And you have some of these guys playing, and I like that. Some quarterbacks making some noise for teams. Even Rudolph in Pittsburgh, they've won three in a row.
I think he is the guy.
So backup quarterbacks, big surprise, guys getting in and making some noise.
You just talked about backup quarterbacks. Denver got a win with a backup quarterback this last weekend as well.
Yeah, they did. Another Allen, yeah.
Yeah. I saw him. He was on the practice squad for the Rams just a couple of seasons ago. So
yeah, he's bounced around.
He has bounced around.
I read that was his first start since the bowl game in 2015.
It's been a long time.
Backup quarterbacks, I like to see. That's good for the league when backup quarterbacks, you have good young quarterbacks developing. So that was one of my biggest surprises with the Niners.
Some surprises as we go into week 10 of the NFL season. Bye weeks are going to be coming to a close here relatively soon as well. So it's a fun time, definitely. Vinny, I look forward to it every Tuesday. I appreciate you coming back in to talk some football.
I love it. Love it.
Be back again to do it tomorrow. We'll also dive back into the local sports front as well. He's Vinny Rondinelli. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Coming up next, it's NASCAR Live right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.